This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to do an update on workers' compensation issues and laws. I have some very significant people for you on this segment of the program. Lester Friedman is a past chair of the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. He's currently chair of management for the California Applicants Attorneys Association. We're going to refer to it as CAW, C-triple-A. His offices are in Beverly Hills. My next guest is someone who I'm sure you will recall her name, Alice O'Sullivan, a past chair of the Board of Legal Specialization. She's also a member of CAW. The third guest is Gilbert Stein, a past president of CAW. He's co-chair of the Media Committee of CAW. His offices are in Monterey and Santa Cruz County. And all three guests are specialists in workers' compensation law certified by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Funding for Your Legal Rights on this segment is made possible by the California Applicants Attorneys Association, CAW. Additional funding is provided by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Welcome to my guests.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to make sure you're all there. Gil, you're in where, Monterey or Santa Cruz County tonight?
Tonight I'm in Santa Cruz County.
This is great. And Lester, are you in L.A. County?
That is correct.
This is wonderful. Well, I can hear you. We had a little bit of the gremlins running in trying to get ready for the program, but apparently everybody's there, and this is wonderful. I wonder if you would tell us this. When someone is injured in an accident at work or connected to work and feels that this is a serious injury, when should someone start thinking about getting an attorney, and how do you do it?
I think that when someone realizes that they're going to need significant medical attention and they're going to be off work for a while, that's the time to start thinking about getting legal counsel.
But how would they know if they're going to be off work for a while?
Well, often the doctor will advise them. I'm presuming that they're going to have some medical attention. If the doctor, says you're going to need a several-week course of physical therapy, or I'm going to send you in for an MRI, and the MRI shows that perhaps there's a need to have a surgery, at that point it's a pretty good idea that it is a serious injury, and it will require some time off from work, and the doctor's going to probably say, I'm taking you off for 3 months. You can't go back to work.
Yeah. Now, what do you do when you tell your employer that, by the way, my doctor says I'm going to be off work for 3 months? Many employees are worried, I'm sure, in this economic climate, that they're going to be terminated. How do they deal with that? Or how should they deal with that?
Well, first of all, when there is an injury...
This is Lester, right?
This is correct.
Okay, go ahead.
It's important to know that when there is an injury at work, it is the employer that has the obligation to furnish the medical treatment, and under California law, the employer is responsible for all payments of that medical care. So generally what will happen is when an employee reports an injury, the employer should send that person to a medical facility that has been authorized by the employer or an employer's insurance company. When they do that, when they are reporting the injury and they're going to a facility that the employer recommends, generally the employer will accept that as that doctor's word as to how long they should be off of work. Unfortunately, it doesn't always go that way, and sometimes an employer will not want to accept the responsibility, and then at that point in time, if the employer does not provide the medical care for the injury, then that injured worker may seek medical attention from any physician of their choice.
Right, Lester, go ahead, Gil.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes there's a variation on a theme where the physician, who of course is chosen by the employer, will get word from the employer, get this guy back to work. So the doctor will write something like can do light duty or modified work, which is sometimes kind of undefined. And that's where a lot of issues come about, where the doctor will say light duty without definition. And the employer's idea of light duty is instead of lifting 100 pounds, he only lifts 75 pounds. So sometimes that can be a problem. And clearly, if that's the case, where a doctor returns somebody back to work and they don't feel that they're really capable of it, that's certainly a clue that maybe they should seek legal counsel even at that point.
Is this a situation that comes up frequently? In other words, if an employer, if you as the injured worker are directed by your employer to go to a doctor who the employer has some connection with, it seems to me there's a possible conflict of interest here, and I'm wondering, does this happen often where doctors frequently in this type of a situation are directing the workers to go back to work earlier for light duty? And if so, is this one of the areas that you see as frequently a problem for the worker?
I believe it is. I mean, frequently, I can't say it's a majority of the time, but it's a significant, I think it's a significant problem. I have many clients who come in, and there's some employers who are better about it than others. Some employers really do offer a modified position so that the person can actually continue to work. And others, it's more of a sham alternative position.
Yeah, and that is the time really to see the attorney, because if it is a sham, then there may be something that the attorney can do to remedy that situation.
Well, let me. Alice wants to talk with you. You guys keep butting in, and she wants to talk.
No,
go ahead,
no,
Alice.
No.
She's too polite.
Lester and Gil, I'm sure that you would agree that if someone is returned to light duty, they should at least report back to the employer.
Absolutely.
But at that point, that's, to me, a very good time to report back to the employer. But at this, as soon as you get home that night, if you don't have an attorney, that would be the time to go ahead and call and get an attorney.
When you have reported back to the employer?
Yes.
And
secondly, Lester, you brought up an important point, and that was when you said when you report the injury. I think for most of our listeners, they have heard this, but it's so important that an injury is reported to the appropriate person right away. Don't you agree with that?
Who is the appropriate person?
Well, generally, it'll be your immediate supervisor.
I see. Okay. All right.
In other words,
and I would go one step further, and that is, not only should you report it, but if it's an injury that requires medical attention rather immediate, you know, you cut your hand or, you know, it's pretty clear that it's not something that can wait to get medical attention. Also, try to get a form, something, you know, get something in writing, because it happens all too often where somebody says, I reported it to my supervisor, and then the supervisor says, I don't remember anything, and you've got no paper trail at all.
Well, when you say get a form, what kind of form, Gil, would this be?
Well, there's a state form called the DWC-1, Department of Workers' Compensation Form 1.
And all employers should have that?
They're required by law, yes.
Yeah, okay. So you as an injured employee, if you're conscious and competent at that point to do it, you should ask for a DWC-1?
I think so, and sometimes even some of the medical clinics, particularly the urgent care type of clinics, actually have them there as well.
You know, in doing programs, California Applicants Attorneys Association has been a funder of this program for many, many years, and my recollection was, and I know it has changed, that a worker had a right to designate who his or her doctor should be if injured. That no longer is applicable. Is that correct?
Not necessarily. That
sounds like a lawyer's answer. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you designate a physician before you have an injury, and that is part of your personnel file,
yes,
and you have seen that doctor previously, and it is your treating doctor,
yeah,
then that pre-designation will, yes, still apply.
So that will override the employer's relationship with a doctor who the employer normally sends injured workers to? Is that correct?
Yes.
So, in other words, what you need to do is inform your employer even today, under the modern situation, that I'm designating Dr. So-and-so, my internist or my family doctor or whatever it may be, as my doctor should I be injured. Is that correct?
Correct, but again, it needs to be truly a treating doctor that you the injured worker has seen in the past.
Okay, all right.
And the doctor really has to be willing. The doctor has to really be willing to see you on a work comp basis.
Yes.
A lot of your family doctor may not want to do that.
Yeah, I had a situation myself with a major clinic that I'm a member of and have been for many years. At one of our programs, when we talked about this, I wanted to designate him as my physician should I be injured. He didn't want to do it. So there you are. and I mean, I've been going to him for years. So it's kind of interesting. Where are the, time is moving on us very quickly. Where are the major problems? Where are the major mistakes that most injured workers make in terms of dealing with helping themselves to be properly taken care of, both medically and perhaps wages-wise, but let's say medically with respect to an injury at work. Where are they making the mistakes? What are they doing, and what should they do different?
Well, I would say that some injured workers wait too long until they consult with an attorney. It's important for the listeners to understand that a workers' compensation attorney, by being a workers' compensation attorney, has agreed to at least give one consultation, if not more, to an injured worker without any cost to that injured worker.
This is state law.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
So it would really be behoove an injured person to at least contact an attorney, and I'll go one step further and say a certified specialist, and go even one step further and say a certified specialist who is a member of CAW.
Mm-hmm.
CAW, California Ambulance Attorneys Association, is an association of over 1,000 attorneys who exclusively represent injured workers, and those of us who are also certified specialists have shown that we have a particular expertise in the area, and you'd be well served by calling one of us immediately.
Let me ask you this. Is the website for CAW still www.caaa.org?
Yes, it is.
And if someone goes to that website, if one is injured and wants to find out who a workers' compensation attorney representing injured workers is in their area. Can you do that through the website at CAW?
Yes, there is a, on the CAW website, which is caaa.org, there is a home page, and right on that home page, on the right side, there is an attorney search feature, and you put in your zip code, and there will be a random list that is generated of attorneys in the general area. They don't leave it to just that one zip code because that would be too restrictive, but they'll give you all the zip codes around there. And then you can cross-reference that list, if you so choose, by going to the State Bar website, and perhaps Alice knows the exact...
Well, I have it. I have it for the Board of Legal Specialization. Lester, is that what you're talking about?
Correct.
Yeah, that's www.californiaspecialist.org. It's all lowercase, no spaces. www.californiaspecialist.org. Again, the CAW website is www.caaa.org. Also, there are a couple of phone numbers that in case for some reason you don't have access to the Internet for CAW. And correct me, Gil and Lester, if I have this wrong, but the number I have for CAW, in case you want to find out who the workers' compensation attorney is in your area or who they are in your area, is 1-800-648-3132. Is that still correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. So that's 1-800-648-3132 for... The Board of Legal Specialization, the statewide number, is 415-538-2100. 415-538-2100.
Gil and Lester, are you having any issues with people representing injured workers who are not local in the area where the injured worker lives?
Well, I did have... I understand it's becoming a problem in Northern California. For instance, I had a client, I took in a case where a client lived very, like 4 miles from my office, but somehow she signed up with an attorney from Santa Ana, never met her, and that attorney obviously wasn't familiar with doctors in this community,
fortunately, she came to me from, I think it's fortunate she came to me very soon after realizing that she had made a mistake, and we were able to help her out significantly. But I understand that there are a number of attorneys, particularly coming from Southern California, and taking and signing up people as for however they do it. I'm not quite sure, and I think that it doesn't do the injured party a great service to have somebody from outside the area, particularly if the venue, if the case would be heard in, say, Santa Ana or San Diego or Los Angeles, it'd be quite a hardship because those miles are not reimbursed. They're, you know, somebody would have to travel down there on their own, at their own expense, if there was a hearing, and that's not right. And then again, I believe that you're better served by having an attorney who's familiar with the local board, the local doctors, the local employers, and it just seems to be far more efficient and you get a better result.
Well, isn't that one of the reasons to get an attorney is so you have somebody who is familiar with the doctors, who is familiar with what goes on in the system locally?
Absolutely, and obviously if somebody's in Southern California but their client lives in San Francisco or Marin County, they're not going to be familiar with who the better orthopedists are, mm-hmm. or who they should see for physical therapy. Any number of issues that come up, they're just not going to have that ability. Even if they're decent attorneys, they're not going to be able to provide the same kind of service as a local attorney. And another plug for CAW, generally CAW members, if our client moves out of the area but they want to continue to retain our services, which I recommend for continuity, if we have a question about physicians in the new area where our clients have moved to, we very easy for us to pick up the phone or email a colleague in that locality and ask them for recommendations of other physicians. But to start out your case knowing right off the bat that your attorney is 400 miles away, it makes it difficult. Obviously, you're not going to drop in every other day to speak to your attorney, but it does make it much easier if you have local access.
So all three of you are saying is that attorneys coming up from Southern California or whomever is coming up for these attorneys from Southern California to sign people up who have been injured, these attorneys who are signing up these injured workers are not going to be filing the cases, the workers' comp cases, in the jurisdiction where the worker has been injured. They're going to file them from down in Southern California. Is that what you're saying?
That's what's yeah. happening, yes.
That makes no sense, frankly, whatsoever.
Since I represent that innuendo, being a Southern California attorney...
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't be doing this.
I would tell you that I would never consider signing up a client from out of my area for a whole host of reasons, the most important being it's extremely inconvenient for that injured worker, but also for the reasons that Gil said, is that there's a lot of nuances in the practice regarding the doctors and the insurance companies and the employers, and the local attorney will have a better handle on how to handle those situations than somebody from out of the area.
Are you finding in your respective practices that by the time someone comes to you that they have been trying to deal by themselves with adjusters for the workers' comp insurance company or not? Is there a decent, significant percentage of people like that who finally realize things aren't going well and now I need to get an attorney?
Yeah, there should be certain red flags that come up when a person, if they haven't already sought the advice of an attorney, they should. Sometimes it can be as subtle as being in a doctor's office and the doctor telling the worker, you know, I'm getting a lot of pressure from the insurance company to return you back to work. I don't necessarily think you should go back, but I just want you to know that I'm getting a lot of pressure to do so.
That's one, and sometimes you have a doctor who's in your corner, actually, and actually recommending, for instance, particular types of treatment, and then the insurance company sends that doctor's recommendation to what's called utilization review, or UR for short, and reasonable medical care is being denied by some physician who never sees the injured party, but sometimes not even in the same state or the same time zone, and so care is denied at that point. And so that's certainly another red flag, and that is even when you have a doctor who wants to provide decent medical care, you're going to have an obstacle. And to try to fight and appeal that denial of medical care on your own, it's almost impossible.
It seems to me, with what you're talking about and the pitfalls that one would be facing who's injured, it would make an awful lot of sense for someone once, let's say, having received at least initial care, because obviously if you're injured, there's a potential shock factor. You're not quite as competent as you might be. You may not have anyone as an advocate for you if let's say you're not married, for example, or have a partner who lives with you. You don't have someone to advocate for you. Seems to me getting an attorney, which is not going to cost you out of pocket, as early as you can, would be the thing to do.
You know, certainly the first person you call should not be the attorney. It should be seeking medical attention.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you're not going to go to the attorney's office and say, please put a splint on my broken leg, would you?
Absolutely not.
No, okay. So
a lot of times I will tell people, even early on in cases when they've only seen a doctor once or twice, that now's not really the time to see the attorney. See if you can handle it yourself for a while, and then when there is that red flag, then come back and see me.
Uh-huh.
And Chuck, I don't know if the listeners know, but in California, the all workers' compensation fees for services of an attorney are contingent, which means that it's going to be a percentage of the recovery. And the percentage of recovery is usually in the range of 9 to 12, maybe up to 15%, mm-hmm. but very, 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 very rarely above 15%.
And that's awarded by the workers' comp judge, right?
Based upon the efforts and difficulty of the case, the workers' comp judge makes the determination within the range.
Let me let listeners know who may have tuned in a little bit late what we're doing here. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program, an update on workers' compensation issues and workers' rights. My guests are very significant persons connected with CAW, which is the California Applicants Attorneys Association. So when we say CAW, that's what it is. They're all certified specialists in workers' compensation law, certified by the Board of Legal Specialization, all members of CAW. And they are the following persons. Gil Stein, past president of CAW. He's now co-chair of the media committee of CAW. His offices are in Monterey and Santa Cruz. Alice O'Sullivan, a past chair of the Board of Legal Specialization. She's a member of CAW. And Lester Friedman, a past chair of the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. He's chair of management for CAW. He's a member of the Board of Directors of CAW. I guess, Gil, you're also a member of the Board of Directors, aren't you?
Yes. As a past president, I'm stuck for life.
Yeah. I've heard about those things. I didn't know it was that bad. And Lester's offices are in Beverly Hills. Do you drive a Rolls Royce, Lester?
No, I have a nice old Ford Explorer.
You're my kind of guy. All right, for those of you who are listening to us live, we will be taking your calls in the next few minutes because the program is live for an hour in the Bay Area. It's live on the Internet at www.kow.org for an hour. So if you do have questions, be patient, and you will be able to call in and ask my guests some questions. Well, you know, one of the things I used to see with some frequency, And I still see it occasionally, even in my own office as a deputy DA, with respect to people who now are using computers all the time. I get this pain in my upper back from using my computer. Some people get pains in their wrist areas. I used to see when I'd go to the supermarket people who would have, I don't know what they call them right now, but
wrist splints.
Wrist splints on their wrists because they were, you know, overusing this. Is there still a situation where you can have repetitive stress, and it doesn't have to be one particular occasion, so that if it covers a long period of time and all of a sudden your wrist hurts like crazy or your back hurts like crazy, is that something that is potentially a workers' comp case?
Absolutely. In California, we have the concept known as cumulative trauma. And so if you can show, again, it has to be based not only on what you think, but also on medical opinion. But if physicians, an examining physician, determines that the activity that was performed over a long period of time has contributed doesn't have to be the sole cause, but mm-hmm. it has to be a significant cause of a person's disability, then it would be covered under California workers' comp law. And it applies to the grocery clerk, the secretary, the plumber, any number of occupations that seem to be more prone to that. And it's treated almost as if, almost the same as any other type of injury. There are certain issues that involve in the cumulative trauma because sometimes it covers more than one employer and more than one insurance company, which makes it a little more complex. And in those kinds of cases, I could almost, without hesitation, say you definitely need an attorney for that.
Let me ask you this. There's something called the compromise and release. What is that, and what is the what may be the red flag with that, if any? Red flag or red flags?
Well, a compromise and release is a document that closes out not only your degree of disability or your disability award, but it also closes out your right to future medical care. Under California law, if it's found that you have a work injury, then the employer is responsible forever for the medical care to cure or relieve from the effects of that injury. A lot of times, the injured worker and the insurance company seek to resolve the case because the injured worker doesn't believe that he's going to need that much, he or she will not need that much medical care in the future. And the insurance company, of course, wants to be able to close their file. So it's really something that should be considered by the injured worker, but it's important to note that either the employer or the injured worker has veto power over that. In other words, if the injured worker says, the cause of this injury was my work, I'm not sure what the future holds, I don't want to close out my case, rather, I would rather get an award which would leave medical care open.
Mm-hmm. What about the loss of income with respect to workers' comp? Very, very generally, if you would, because in terms of the statewide version of the program, we have about a minute and a half. What comments do you have about what kind of compensation, generally speaking, would people be receiving if they are off work?
Well, temporary disability is capped at 104 weeks, and it's based on two-thirds of someone's income up to a cap, which is now about $1,000 a week. And that's supposed to provide income while someone is off work and on the mend. Their condition hasn't stabilized. So that's a cap of 104 weeks. It's certainly not a guarantee of 104 weeks.
That's 2 years you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. After that, someone's off work longer than that, they may be eligible for state disability. But the employer or the carrier's obligation is then limited to permanent disability. And Chuck, that's a whole
we're going to have to do another program on that. We have come to the end of the statewide version of the program. For those of you who are with us, I just want to let you know we do our next Call a Lawyer night on Wednesday, August 22nd. The number to call if you want to talk to a lawyer off the air for Call a Lawyer, 1-800-525-9917. This is Your Legal Rights at 728 at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. We are doing a program on an update. There's an awful lot of issues to this, and we need to do another program in the not-too-distant future. We're doing an update on workers' compensation laws and issues. And for those of you who have questions or comments, there's someone who's been incredibly patient waiting to come on, and I'll get to this person in just a minute. But the number is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. If you'd like to call in with your question, your comment with respect to your being injured at work, maybe you're having a problem with the insurance company, maybe you're having a problem with your employer, et cetera, et cetera. So I welcome you to call in. My guests are Alice O'Sullivan, a past chair of the Board of Legal Specialization. She's a member of the California Applicants Attorneys Association, referred to as CAW. Lester Friedman, also a past chair of the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. He's currently the chair of management at CAW. He's a member of the board of directors of CAW. His offices are in Beverly Hills. And Gil Stein, a past president of CAW. He's now co-chair of the media committee of CAW. His law offices are in Monterey and Santa Cruz County. He's also a member of the Board of Directors of CAW. My three guests are specialists in workers' compensation law certified by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Two very important websites that I want to give to you and phone numbers if you'd like to take them down. I hope you don't need them, but it's a good thing to be ready if you need it. The CAW website is www.cawcaaa.org. The phone number for CAW is 1-800-648-3132. For the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, that website is www.californiaspecialist.org. That phone number, the statewide phone number, is 415-538-2100. Both of these websites and the phone numbers can help you if you're injured and you're trying to find an attorney. Both of them can help you find a workers' compensation specialist. And one of the things that my guests have warned about, and use your own good common sense, if someone is coming up here into the Bay Area from some other long-distance area in this state to try to sign you up, if you're an injured worker, be very, very careful. That's what they're trying to tell you. You need to stay up here. You need to have your case up here where you've been injured, and you need to be taken care of not only by local doctors but also by local attorneys who are workers' compensation specialists representing injured workers. All right, let's do this. Let's start with Mickey. Thank you for being so patient. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Good evening.
Hi.
Thank you for having this show.
Yeah, you're on.
Well, I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
But I also have my own experience from the year 2000. I had a workers' comp claim back in 2000, work in a restaurant. I had a lower back injury from carrying heavy things, and it was directly from my carrying heavy things in the work situation. It didn't happen right on the spot. But the next morning, I woke up and couldn't get out of bed. I had 3 days of staying home, and then I went to their office, and I got the claim forms to fill out for workers' comp, and I said, I went to a chiropractor that was I was advised to go to. They said to me, well, you can't go to a chiropractor. You have to go to a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm going to a chiropractor. And
you're
I
a toughie.
Did.
You're a toughie. You know that?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mickey. Go on.
So I did that. I went to a chiropractor for 6 months, and I went right back to work after 3 days.
Wow.
Okay? I was treated and taken out of pain after about a week or 10 days, and I could work again. I just really wanted to work. So they contested my situation, and they said, well, we're going to have our chiropractor guy look at you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. So their chiropractor guy looks at me, and he checks me out and everything, and I say to him, look, I'm not trying to get a disability thing here. Not trying to cheat the system. I actually have a legitimate back injury. All I want to do is get payment for my chiropractic stuff that's going on and get out of this and just go back to work. So it all worked out for me. I didn't need a lawyer or anything, and my claim was a clear-cut thing, and the workplace paid for it.
Okay, now let me ask you this. You said you had a couple of questions. What are they?
Yeah. Okay, well, let me just set this up.
No, listen, we have other people, Mickey, who would like to talk to my guests, because you've got to really get to the point. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. I don't know if the laws have changed, but let me ask you this. Can you work now directly after your injury, after you filed a claim form with your employer?
Or absolutely.
Yes.
No, of course you can work. There's no problem with that.
Okay.
Never has been.
All right, here's another little question. Do you have to see a physician that's within the same county as the employer or where the injury took place?
No. It has to be within a reasonable geographic area.
Okay.
All right, we're going to move on now. Mickey, thank you very much, and
all right.
Congratulations. They paid your chiropractor's bill, right?
Yes.
They weren't going to mess with you, I can tell you that, from the tone of your voice.
Okay.
But not everybody has that much moxie. Thank you very much for calling. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay. 415-841-4134. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hi. I'll be very brief. I've had a claim for a lower back injury with the state fund for about 10 years, and they're trying to buy me off, for lack of a better term, with a lump sum permanent payment that would end any rights I might have for future treatment, and I'm considering taking it. My question...
Ooh. Yeah, but do you, Mark, stop for a moment. Mark, stop. Mark, stop for a moment. Do you have an attorney?
No.
Oh, that's a real mistake. But go ahead. Ask your question.
My question is the lump sum payment they're offering me taxable?
No.
Okay.
But you know, Mark, in terms of what you're asking about, you've had a problem for 10 years. You know, I'm a consumer attorney. I'm not a workers' comp attorney. Mm-hmm. And frankly, when I hear you talk about the state fund wanting to buy you out, and you've had a problem for 10 years, and you still have a problem, it sounds like, I think you're very foolish, frankly, not to confer with an attorney.
I may do that.
No, it's not a matter of may. You must. You must. No, I'm serious. This is silly.
Yeah, Mark, check the websites out. Check the call list and the list of certified specialists in your area. And at least try and get a consultation, even if by phone, with one of the attorneys, just to go over the facts. Yeah. I mean, it's possible that the attorney will say, you know, you're doing the right thing by yourself. And if not, the attorney will tell you, and then you make the decision as to whether or not you want to follow through with it.
I would also make another recommendation, and that is you can consult with your, if you have a physician, you know, who's been taking care of you all these years, consult with that physician about what the likelihood of needing expensive medical care in the future. Because one pitfall that a number of people make is they settle their case thinking that another insurance company will pick up the tab, or Medicare or Medi-Cal will pick up the tab. And that ain't necessarily so.
Yeah.
And then they end up in a lot of trouble when they try to, when they find out that they've settled thinking that they have another insurance and they don't.
Did you get the websites, Mark?
No, I was going to ask you if you could repeat.
All right, I will. Are you ready to write?
Yes, I am ready to
write. All right, okay. Here's CAA, www.caaa.org. The phone number is 1-800-648-3132. The Board of Legal Specialization, to which my three guests are involved with as certified specialists, its website is www.californiaspecialist.org. That's all lowercase, no spaces, www.californiaspecialist.org. That phone number, the statewide phone number, is 415-538-2100. And one of the things that I have believed, you know, I've done this program for 28 years, and one of the things that I believe is so very important is that people do things that are proactive, not wait until you've made a mistake. And therefore, I'm a real believer in... You're not going to pay anybody for an initial consultation, Mark, and you've been dealing with this for 10 years. It's now time to get really serious. So those are my comments, whether you want them or not.
Okay. No, I appreciate that. California Specialist, is that singular or plural?
It's singular. Okay. California Specialist, although there are lots of specialists.
One more quick question. Am I likely to run into a problem due to this factor? I've been treated by a chiropractic during this time. The chiropractor who handled me for the first 7 years of the claim is now deceased. His successor has moved to Spain to take up a teaching career.
Oh, my gosh.
And my current chiropractor... has not been able to communicate with State Fund. They're claiming he hasn't sent them any paperwork at all. As far as they're concerned, I haven't been treated since my first chiropractor died in 2009.
Oh my.
But they're telling me that my doctors have said they have submitted forms and have even been reimbursed in one case. So,
Mark, you have just stated to us facts why you must see an attorney.
Okay.
And Mark, one other thing, when you go to the state bar specialist list, the state bar lists specialists who both do work for insurance companies and for injured workers or applicants. When you make the call of somebody in your area, the first question you should ask is whether or not they do applicant work or they do defense work, because you're not going to necessarily know by the names. Obviously, on the call list, if you cross-reference the two, everyone on the call list does work for injured workers. So that just to give you that clue.
Mark, okay. Good luck to you, Mark.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Glad you called, and I hope you do go and see an attorney. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and for a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KLW listeners like you. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. That number is 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own. What they do, and I'm not suggesting this in, let's say, instead of contacting CAW or contacting the Board of Legal Specialization, but for those of you who have problems in other areas, going to lawyer referral can be very helpful for half an hour, nose-to-nose, well, not necessarily nose-to-nose, but face-to-face with the attorney. And depending on the county, you pay for half an hour, a low of $25, maybe a high of $35. So that's what's available to you. And with respect to what we're talking about here with workers' compensation attorneys who are representing applicants, that means injured workers, the law does not permit them to charge for a consultation. So keep that in mind. All right. Vera, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, thank you.
Hi.
Okay, I went out last March on a repetitive stress injury, wrist and forearm, and then I was out on modified duty waiting for my employer to accommodate me. I returned back to work, and within a month, it had moved into my shoulder. Hmm. 2 months down the line, it was into my neck. I went out of work at that point because my employer only allows 90 days of temporary modified duty. At that point, you either come back full time or you stay at home. At this point, the insurance company requested a QME. So we had that evaluation. Doctor said I wasn't permanent stationary, that I was still needed to stay on modified duty and continue my physical therapy. Fast forward to about a month ago, where they requested a second QME. The doctor raised my modified duty hours a little bit, but it was still modified duty. Wanted to continue the physical therapy, which my doctor also recommended. Within a month of that, they denied the physical therapy. They have denied my shoulder. Mm. My doctor said, okay, well, they're denying everything. You either can or can't do your job. So I'm going to release you to full duty. If you can't do it, we're going to start the permanent stationary process.
You have no lawyer, obviously, Vera.
I'm shopping one right now.
Okay, all right. And how long have you been suffering from this?
It was last March, so we're going on a year and a half now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, a couple of red flags have come up that Lester was talking about. One of them is the QME process. And that's, for people who don't know, which is probably the majority of listeners, QME stands for Qualified Medical Evaluator. And if you don't have an attorney, what happens is you, for an evaluation on all kinds of issues, including medical care and permanent disability, you will get a list of three physicians randomly, should be by zip code, sent out by the state of California, and you're supposed to pick one of them. And that doctor will essentially determine what kind of medical care you're going to get and what your level of disability is, whether you're capable of going back to work or not, those kinds of things. If you have an attorney, it's a slightly different process. And I often tell people, just don't wait until you get that QME list. Come to the attorney. get your attorney involved in that before, because you have a lot more control and influence in the case when you're able to have some influence on who that evaluator is going to be. And I don't know if, you know, if our caller, you know, whether it's a good QME or, you know, or someone who's a really good listener or somebody who is just out there to do a job and get paid, but there is a huge difference between QMEs, and there have been some studies shown that people, that there are certain groups of doctors who consistently provide reports that rate, as far as permanent disability rate, like 50% lower than other doctors.
Mm.
And you could end up getting locked into that. And if you come to an attorney after you've selected that QME and gone to the appointment, there may not be much for a lawyer to do.
Yeah.
You may have boxed yourself in. So don't let that happen if you can help it.
Yeah, the other thing I'm concerned about is that you seem to have indicated that the QME validated what the treating doctor was suggesting in terms of treatment.
Yes.
If that's true, an attorney could easily go into court and get that treatment authorized. But you'd have to have an attorney and have that in place so that that process would go quickly by an expedited hearing.
You know, Vera, again, as with Mark, really, where do you live?
I'm in Northern California in the Bay Area.
Are you? And yes. And the injury was in the Bay Area, I presume?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And I work for Alameda County.
Oh, do you? You work for the county. Okay.
Yes.
You were injured while working for the county?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a problem if someone is a county employee, gentlemen, and Alice? Does it make any difference?
No.
No. So Vera, listen, you've got to go see an attorney.
Yes.
Okay, and
I
if...
I spoke with someone, and I don't know how I feel about the person, but this process is taking a little long, and I'm kind of like, I need somebody now because it's getting hot right
well,
now.
Well, it is. It is
like,
getting
I'm
hot.
I'm back at work. I've been working for 3 weeks, and my arm hurts. I'm not going to be able to continue this.
No.
I don't want them to make me permanent stationary at the same time.
Okay.
So it's like rocking a hard place.
Okay. All right. You now know what you have to do.
Right.
Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks very much for calling. Alice, do you have something?
I was only going to comment that since the shoulder's been denied, I'm wondering whether she saw the same QME. She said she saw a second QME. I don't know if it was the same doctor or not, but that only adds to the
confusion here.
Adds to the confusion and adds to the fact that she needs to see an attorney right away.
Good luck to you, Vera. All right, Steve, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, thanks. Great program. I recommend it to a lot of my friends.
Oh, good.
So I'm going to be general because it's a complicated case. I don't have all the specifics. A friend of mine has had an attorney, and his injury and his case has been going on for quite a while. He's gotten some financial compensation over the last few years. And he's in a situation where he kind of feels like the attorneys that are handling it now are kind of giving him the runaround.
Mm.
And the money is kind of running out as far as what the whole nut is that he's supposed to be getting. What kind of recourse does he have? Because I know he's been telling me that some of the motivation just disappears if the amount of the reward or whatever it is start dwindling down. But what can he do if he feels like he's kind of getting the runaround? I mean, from whoever is representing him now. It's like extracting teeth, getting good communication between him.
All right.
Now,
Steve, let me.
You're busy, so that's about as specific as I can be.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
No,
not you, Steve. My guest.
Okay.
Okay. Well, Steve, I think that your friend could contact an attorney from the call website and talk to them, consult with them, tell them what the issue is, and they would be in a better position than we are here on this radio show to find out whether, in fact, the attorney's doing a job or not.
And so, in other words, you're going to get another opinion from another workers' compensation attorney who represents injured workers.
Right.
And there's nothing, no reason why your friend can't do that, Steve.
Oh, okay. So that's a CAAA.org?
That's right. CAAA.org. Or your friend can call 1-800-648-3132.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
Okay, very good. And I'm not sure whether Lester or Gil, you said something and kind of we cut you off. What were you saying in response to Steve?
Well, I wasn't saying much, actually, but I think it's important, you know, every injured person, in workers' comp, certainly the injured worker has the right to change attorneys.
Yeah.
It's not always a good idea. And certainly Steve's friend can consult with an attorney and essentially get a second opinion as to mm-hmm. whether or not the case is being handled properly.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is an issue of communication. And since, as Alice said, none of the three of us really know enough about the facts to know whether or not perhaps, you know, Steve's friend had unrealistic expectations. We don't know, but certainly mm-hmm. he can try to find an attorney who will review the case briefly and let him know whether or not he or she feels that they can do a better job and help. Often it's, you can't. I mean, you know, but at least it gives peace of mind to the injured party, to the injured worker, to know that at least they've consulted with somebody and not accepted, you know, that there's nothing else to be done.
I think at this point it might be important to note that workers' compensation attorneys work on a volume basis. So there's a whole lot of cases that each attorney handles, and there isn't a lot of time for callers to call regularly.
Mm-hmm.
But if the situation has changed, if the attorney isn't responding like they used to, then sometimes even a call from another attorney saying, you know, your client's here, is there a problem? Sometimes that all might, that can just work out.
Might light the Bunsen burner again, huh?
Yeah, something like that.
I hit a chord there,
yes,
didn't I, with the Bunsen burner. Okay,
yes.
All right. Ed, welcome to your legal rights.
Yes, good evening. I'm a blind individual, and my case is been solved with the Open Medical. My attorney informed me that the insurance company has established and has expressed an interest in exploring with Medicare the possibility of having a Medicare-approved account set up from which the future medical claims would be paid. And as a blind individual, my worries are, how easy is it going to be to document the expenditures on such an account? I'll have to ask a friend to help. I don't want to be unreasonable in asking mm-hmm. assistance from someone. I believe that it's the workers' compensation rate table that would apply to the submitted doctor's fees. How would such a person determine what these rates are, since I presume there's a rate for every single diagnostic code that might arise?
Well, let me get some comment for you, Ed, because I will tell you, we discussed this issue before we went on the air. And apparently, as I understand it, and I am not a workers' compensation attorney, but it sounded to me like it is not a clear area. But let me ask any one of you to respond to this. Who would like to start?
Let me take it, Chuck. Lester.
This is Lester. Go ahead.
I missed the first part of the caller's comment, and I think he said that he was blind. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. There is a provision where there are companies out there that will handle the payment of bills on a Medicare set-aside settlement. They do charge a fee. I think it's about a $2,500 setup fee, and then there's a yearly fee of $500 or $600 or $700 a year. If I were the caller and I had the disability that he had and his concerns, I would make it a precondition of the settlement that the insurer pay that upfront setup fee
mm-hmm.
and the yearly fee for that company to maintain the payments and do all the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And that company would would really take the stress off of the injured worker by doing that. Gil, you've heard of that, have you not?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, for a lot of people, they can handle that themselves, but this is far more complicated. And I would agree with Lester 100% that if the carrier wants to settle the case and then their liability, they need to come up with this extra money so that so that Ed can handle this and do it, because it gives Ed the freedom to be able to, or anybody else, you know, give the freedom to manage their own medical care. But having this private company administer it relieves him of the responsibility and the aggravation of having to document everything.
How do you find the private company? How does Ed, how does he find the private company?
Does Ed have an attorney or not?
I do.
I think he does. Yeah, and often the vendor that provides the analysis for the Medicare set-aside also provides that service as well.
I see. Do I run any risk in terms of what if the medical claims should exceed the Medicare set-aside fund? Does Medicare assume the responsibility beyond that?
If Medicare approves the settlement, and yes, they will pick it up like they pick up any other injury or illness, and that is the 80%. In other words, they're not like workers' comp, which assumes 100%. So you will still have that 20% deductible.
We're going to move on. Ed, we're going to move on. I want to try to take one more call. Thank you very much for calling. All right, Bryce, you are the last person. Can you do your question in a minute or so?
Yes. I'll just real quick background. So I injured my back on the job about a year ago. Injury occurred on the job. At the time, I didn't know about workman's compensation. I wasn't informed right away about it. I didn't seek treatment for many, many months. I was just kind of hoping the injury would go away. When I did find out about workers' compensation, my boss is ill, and this is my fault, but I didn't want to burden her with any kind of extra, you know, stuff that's going on. So I've had physical therapy for the last couple months, just paying on my own, and right now I'm worried that my back injury is going to be chronic, and it's going to be long-term. I was hoping I would just be able to get it fixed, and it would be able to move on. And, now I'm worried that it's long-term. I actually did, a few months ago, talk with my boss about workers' comp. I sent her some paperwork, the forms online that I got online, and I never got anything back. Like I said, she is ill, but I'm wondering what my options are right now. I'm worried it's going to be long-term, and I want to...
And again, Bryce, you have no attorney?
I don't have an attorney right now.
And you're still employed with that company?
No, I'm not.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. See an attorney quickly.
Yes, yeah. Like yesterday.
See a lawyer. Did you hear that, Bryce? See a lawyer quickly.
Okay.
Like yesterday. Where do you live?
I live in Palo Alto.
Okay. And did you get down the websites for both of the entities?
CAA.org.
Yes.
CAAA.org and California Specialist.
That's correct. And the other one is www.californiaspecialist.org.
Yeah.
Yes.
The problem is that it's going to be considered a post-termination claim, possibly.
Well, he may not have been terminated.
And that's the other issue, right.
Yeah.
But it's complex medical and legal issues, and you really need an attorney.
Yeah. Okay. And it's not going to cost you for the initial consultation, Bryce, so you really need to get moving on this.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There's still a possibility I can do a claim, or it's still there.
Well, you have to see an attorney. You have to see an attorney. Where? What city were you injured in?
I was actually injured. The company is based in Mountain View.
Okay.
I don't even know if it exists anymore. I was injured in San Francisco.
Okay.
We were working.
Okay, we're going to move on. I'm sorry, but try to make an appointment with an attorney as soon as you can. I want to thank the three of you very much for joining us. We're going to have to do another program very shortly, frankly, because there's so many questions, so many concerns. Lester Friedman, thank you very much for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
Great to have you on the program. Alice O'Sullivan, always wonderful to have you with me.
Thank you, Chuck.
You'll be here next week or 2 weeks from now for Call a Lawyer.
God willing.
I hope I'll be here, God willing, on August 22nd. And Gil Stein, great to have you back on the program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's been very nice talking to the three of you and all of you who have called in and those of you listening. Your Legal Rights production staff members, program engineer Joanne Marr, production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Applicants Attorneys Association. Additional funding provided by the Trust and Estate section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco and the San Mateo County Bar Association. If you have credit card problems, surcharges that are overwhelming, or prepaid credit card problems, join me next week with Joe Rideout of Consumer Action. He's the manager of Consumer Services. We're going to talk about maybe what may help you. So thank you for joining us on Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.